Dumb bitch, Benjean. I'm just a little cat on this spaceship, and I don't know what's going on. But I'm scared.
And I was just born. Can you please let me eat you? Please. And I'm so hungry.
We are talking about Alien.
Of course.
Finally.
Born into.
We've been toying with this since like our first Halloween lineup, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And we've just gotten around to it now. And my God, it was worth the wait.
This was and always has been on virtue of the thing that it is. One of my like classic movies. Hold on. That I have been meaning to see. It would make a lot of sense that I have seen it prior and that I never have.
Yeah, I have never seen this one before now.
It's
been on my list for a long time, but I was very scared. And honestly, rightfully so. This
was a scary movie.
To me, one of the scariest I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I think what I'm learning with as we watch more and more horror is that like the horror movies that really get to me are the ones like this where the vast majority of it is just the knowledge that the characters are being stalked by something largely unseen.
Oh yeah. One of my most,
and then it helps that when we do see it, the alien is scary as hell. Like
so scary.
They designed that thing phenomenally.
One of my most common and reoccurring nightmares is that I am being hunted by sport by human or creature. This was not a fun watch, I've got to admit.
Yeah, this did give me a nightmare, not about an alien. It was that I was in my own home in a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of situation where I just
had to
sneak around, and if they saw me, I was instantly dead.
Alien made Five Nights at Freddy's. It's awful.
Alien made me get Five Nights at Freddy's in my sleep.
That's fun.
This is scary. No, because Five Nights at Freddy's is also that same type of horror where you know the danger is there. You can't
and
see
it's
it.
Coming.
It works on me every time. As somebody with anxiety who just feels like that sometimes, it works. It's scary.
See, and I've explained this not on the podcast, and I don't think extensively to you, but to my, I believe, who I've mentioned before, because she was one of the people that I like would consistently binge a lot of the airing American Horror Story seasons with when we were in school. Is that like the things that work for me in horror, and like one of my most instinctual, like, I am still some lower to the ground all fours mammal in the dinosaur era, is what if there was a fucking creature? You know for a fact, if there was a fucking creature, I would get, and the creature would get me. And that's what this movie is you do get by the creature.
Yeah.
I would not survive.
No.
I would be Brett, quite honestly, I think. I'd be wandering around like, where's my cat? And then a creature would eviscerate me.
It happens.
I wouldn't stand a chance. No, I would not.
I have no disillusion that if I was in a horror movie situation, I am the one escaping that alive.
Oh, absolutely not. And in many situations, I feel like I would just give up.
My best case scenario is like a Lambert situation in this movie where I am only surviving till near the end because I have not been anywhere near that fucking thing until that
absolutely
point.
Absolutely. The fact that was so scared she did not move.
I was going to say, also down to the part where Dallas dies in the vents, and she's just like literally screaming, crying, and throwing up, and she was nowhere near it, and she did not see anything.
She like just saw a circle.
Fully me.
Oh yeah.
Shitting my pants when the thing bursts out of the guy's chest, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Because that did, like, the immediate aftermath where it just scurried off was insanely funny to me.
Oh,
but the actual lead up and chest burst itself did work. Like, I, even knowing it was coming, I think that almost made it worse, because I was picking up on the hints that it was coming well before it was actually about to happen. And just, like, nervous, waiting for it. Because, it, as I've talked about extensively on this podcast, it's, like, body horror is also big for me.
Mm-hmm.
So even when it's from the 70s and maybe hasn't aged the best, hasn't aged horribly because it's practical effects, but, like,
yeah,
that blood did not look real, but it still got me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just the... More than that, the chest burst itself, what got me was him just, like, convulsing and vomiting
up until
it happened. Like, that was horrid.
Before the chest burster moved, the scene where, like, before it ran, the scene where it's kind of, like, swiveling back and forth, and you can see, like, the viscera of Kane's, like, entire torso just kind of liquefying and, like, flooding in on itself.
Well, and, it was you can
so
see
well done.
The bone that it broke completely through, and it was very well done. But then it just scampers off like a fucking squirrel. Zuzu.
Deep pull. I had quite a few.
That just unlocked something in my brain.
I am number one of three. We were very, very close to a Hallmark store growing up. We had many a Zuzu.
We were using the nearby Hallmark store to get Webkinz every minor holiday.
See, my Hallmark didn't have a Webkinz. I had to go to the local store.
That's fucked.
Mm-hmm. They were more focused on the Zuzu.
Webkinz is like Hallmark is the Webkinz store to me. Mm-hmm. That's all I was going there for until, like, later in life.
Up until the Zuzu pets, like, the main thing the Hallmark store near me sold was, like, those little, like, willow, like, angel statues that all white moms have.
They love selling those.
They love those. My aunt still has a bunch every time I go to her house for Thanksgiving. It's just a full... I think is worse than the moms that are obsessed with Precious Moments, because at least Precious Moments are... precious, you know.
I was gonna say Precious Moments make sense as, like, a grandma thing, because it's like those are like grandmas are seeing their grandchildren in those fucked up little angels.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about Hallmark, we're here to talk about Alien.
Yeah. We jumped, not even that, just real quick, let's get out of the way, like,
just the setup.
General. Well, first of all, I want to address the general, like, commentary I have that everybody fucking says constantly, because this is, like, phenomenal that Alien did. Number one, that chest burster scene. The cast wasn't told of the blood pack amount when they were filming, so all the reactions to the amount of viscera in that scene is 100% genuine.
Yeah.
And number two, the Ripley of it all. Ripley was written as a male. They decided to cast Sigourney Weaver and change none of the dialogue. And that's why she's the most girl boss to ever girl boss.
They also apparently cast her very late. Initially, they did decide to change it to a girl before Sigourney Weaver auditioned. Mm-hmm. Because Veronica Cartwright, who played Lambert, auditioned for Ripley. And was not picked and was not informed that she got picked until they got on set. So that's pretty fucked up, but I don't think she's upset about it or anything, but it's still, like,
weird practice for the whole of it.
Exactly. Would suck to go in thinking you're playing the lead character.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they went with Sigourney Weaver. I cannot imagine this character being played by anyone else.
No.
Like, Sigourney Weaver is an all-time favorite for me. I have never disliked her performance. No. Yes, I am including her playing her own daughter in Avatar 2. Very funny. She's the one who... There was no dad. Her mom just got pregnant in a coma and gave birth to her. Those were both Sigourney Weaver.
Remember almost fucking nothing from both of those films, which I guess is the general consensus. So
I remember far too much. Those films grab onto something within my autism.
Blue.
Big creature. But Sigourney Weaver is fantastic, and this role really is. I mean, this is kind of the role that made her film career.
Oh, absolutely.
She'd been like big in theater and stuff long before this, but this was her really breakthrough role as a movie star.
And this movie also did a lot for the director, Ridley Scott.
Yes.
As we all know. Again, which, it's just...
I mean, he came out the gate swinging, though. He, like, did this and then Blade Runner. Like, he said, I'm going to start directing and I'm going to cement myself as an auteur, like, three movies in.
Ridley Scott and Wes Craven, I feel, just... I don't know. Like, I'm very into both of their films. So, like, that might just be the bias talking. But I feel like they had a fucking... They knew what they were doing. They knew what they wanted to make. They made it.
I half agree with that. So I'm not disagreeing on the, like, that they knew what they were wanting to make and did it. It's just that I don't like Wes Craven's movies very much.
That's fair.
I like Ridley Scott's movies a lot, but Ridley Scott is also very much more in the vein of sci-fi, which until I got older was much more in my sphere than horror.
This is, I think, the first and only to date Ridley Scott film I've seen, unless I am proven wildly wrong by a surprise entry.
I've seen a few of them. I've seen this. I've seen Blade Runner. I've seen Black Hawk Down and Gladiator. Those are all the ones I've seen. And Black Hawk Down.
I have not seen anything besides Alien.
I think of the other ones I've seen, the only other one kind of worth seeing is Blade Runner.
That seems like a good, like, next one.
Yeah, it's not this. I mean, it's weird to me looking at just like the accolades and stuff for this movie, just like on Wikipedia and stuff, because it's like most people talk about this as a sci-fi movie, which it like is, but it's much more horror to me.
This and movie,
so just to see that, like, even like its registry in the National Archive and stuff is as a sci-fi film, which is again not inaccurate. It's just not how I look at it. I would say this is a horror movie first through the lens of sci-fi, but most people would say it's sci-fi through the lens of horror.
And that's where I would agree. I think this is a sci-fi base that horror of accomplished in that like context. But I feel it before it was horror, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
Either way, it's both and it's fucking fantastic. And
yeah, this movie, exactly.
I do genuinely that this movie deserves the accolade it ever received.
No, and it's crazy to like how long it took too, because this movie was like critically panned at first. Then it really had like a resurgence like a decade or so later, like late 80s and 90s. It had a big comeback, and thank God it's getting its flowers ever since.
Oh, absolutely. But, because this movie was fucking phenomenal. It was so competently made. It was phenomenally written, again, because of the whole no dialogue changed Ripley of it all. I feel like if they changed dialogue to, like, this has to be more feminine, I feel like this movie would not.
Well, and I would actually almost go so far as to say Ripley's character arc, like, unchanged dialogue and everything, works better when it is
yes!
a woman because yes! of the crew, like, not taking her seriously and not listening yes! to her. And, like I think that is so much more effective when she's a woman. Because it just makes it, because that is absolutely how they would be treating a woman in that position.
It's this, like, I love it. Like, if nothing else, it's an insane case study.
I know it was just written that way because she's, like, the third officer, and that was just the initial intent with them dismissing her and stuff. But it genuinely works so much better through that lens, because we live in a patriarchal society where people do treat women who are above them like that.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know, it gives it so much more meat. And fantastic, like, no dialogue had to be changed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they refer to Ripley in, like,
with pronouns and
stuff, that would have had to be adjusted,
but that's not difficult.
No. I'm sure the cast could have done that in the scenes, you know?
Yeah, fully.
And I feel like that was the only change that needed to be made for the character, because it read so much more accurately, so much better as a female character.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it is just, like, it's such a fun case study of, like, men's, like, oh, I'm not taking seriously as a third in command, but it's, like, this is probably, like, very hard for her to get, especially, like, a side, like, I know it's technically 21 whatever, but this was as imagined in 1979.
No, and, like, especially because it's such a military sort of environment on the ship, I think it resonates very well to this day. Like, it's very good.
Like, I know this is not a military vessel, and, like, that's the whole kind of, like, point, is they're kind of being to do military operations and all that. Still, like, even then.
No, like, they are a cargo vessel, but they're still using, like, actual rankings and everything. Like, this is a cargo vessel that is enlisted, like, by the government.
Yes. I think it's just phenomenal.
It's fantastic. I liked there's just a lot of things that were so well done in this movie. I have very few complaints. Like,
this movie, it was very difficult to find a non-director's cut, just straight through theatrical release to watch.
Yeah, which I would like to watch the director's cut eventually, but I wanted my first
to be
the original.
And, you know, grain of salt for everything that we say ever. It could be completely inaccurate, but I've heard Ridley Scott prefers a theatrical release. That it got.
I have no idea.
It got to the point that he was attempting better or whatever. I don't know. I know the director's cut had more scenes, and a lot of feel like it was a better representation of the entire story. I'm fine having watched the theatrical release. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I wouldn't mind seeing more scenes, but I feel like the movie effectively utilized its runtime to deliver the story that it was delivering.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I feel like, again, this is, it's a horror. A lot of, like, movies kind of, or a lot of viewers kind of get things that establish a status quo. Establish a dynamic between the group.
And I liked that it was a slow start.
Yes. We need stuff like that to really establish what is being disrupted.
Well, and it's also like, especially in this type of horror movie where it is really playing on the being stalked and like being...
Mm-hmm. You need to build the community.
Exactly. It's something that I really liked and that I know we briefly touched on too when we watched Friday the 13th is like, we got some good scenes before the killing started of them just like hanging out and like settling into the camp. And like, I feel like horror these days, like I get the desire to want to go straight into the kills and stuff, mm-hmm. but it is also just like, sometimes you can just lose the effectiveness of those kills if I don't know who these people are.
Yeah. I don't fault slashers or things like that for like wanting to get into the slasher of it all, but if you're doing the thing that Alien is doing where the horror is coming from these people that you've grown attached to slowly
picked off one by one,
like you have to care about them.
And it's also, I will also, something that I will normally criticize a movie for but that I will applaud this one for is actually the jump scares. Mm-hmm. I feel like jump scares in modern horror have gotten so cheap. Mm-hmm. But I do think every jump scare that was in this movie was actually like properly built to and earned.
Oh yeah, the vent one is the vent iconic. One
scared the shit out of me.
Oh, absolutely.
I was already tense because, as we learned with As Above So Below, very claustrophobic. I mm-hmm. don't like when characters in enclosed space. So to have him in an enclosed space and they know the alien's getting closer and closer to him, and then to just very suddenly have it appear for a split second and then he's just gone.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like just fully pasted, you know, like he's not a physical being anymore.
Yeah. Fucked up. I also love that for the alien, they literally just found some guy in a bar who is like 6'10", very, very 6'10", but very skinny and lanky. And they were like, yeah, your body type is fucked up. Do you want to be an alien?
You look so physically scary. Do you want to be even scarier?
They're like, your limbs are so long, nobody will believe that's a human in there.
And he was like, yeah, sure. To be fair, if that's all I had to do.
Yeah, I'd be like, sign me up. Mm-hmm. It's the same as like all the stories from when Lord of the Rings was filming in New Zealand, and they'd just go up to like any dude and be like, hey, do you want to like be in this army scene? Like, yeah, absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Nothing fucking better to do.
It's New Zealand. No, it's just, and like the fact that the shots of the xenomorph that we got were because like the suit looks so fucking bad they had to cut out 90% of it.
But that makes it more effective that like we just see a little bit of its head or like its tail, or like it worked out.
Like it moved abysmally and it was not scary, and you recognize that, and you instead made it 10 times scarier.
Well, and also the fact that there were some parts where it was pretty well in view where just because it was like well written and acted and directed, it could still be somewhat scary, because that whole part in the shuttle at the end where it was like sleeping there, that still made me so nervous. Like,
I love,
and she's, it was so good. She's so moving so slowly, and like
I loved it. I don't know, like, I feel like we don't get enough, like, creature movie where they're, like, fully treating creature like creature.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's no personhood to this xenomorph. This is an unknown creature, and it's strictly, like, I behaviors, I don't know its general habitat desires. All I know is Milkman saying that I'm going to die, so I have to create a very, very down to the second, very well timed plan to get this thing away from me.
One, I think, fantastic. Huge credit to Sigourney Weaver too for how she played that, because like so commonly in horror we get to that kind of final confrontation and it's, there's like no fear or anything anymore, but she is still like visibly shaking, cannot look directly at this thing, like fantastic.
One of the final shots where it's like she's full in the full spacesuit and she's not even moving her head, but she's like looking out of the
trying
corner
to look
eye.
Towards it. Yeah, like holy shit!
It's palpable how scared she is about this.
No, like her acting is so phenomenal. Good that you also feel like you're about to be like killed, and you're not actually there. Like,
and here's a confession about how I viewed this movie. It was in chunks, and the last, it took a full day for me to watch this almost 2 hour long movie. The last 20 minutes took me a good 40. I was so, just the countdown for the ship being destroyed. Like, I know she survives. Again, it falls victim to like being a huge cultural icon. It's like, I know at least
I know what happens in this movie exactly, but also shows how good of a movie it is that I technically knew everything that happened in this movie essentially, but it still got me. Like,
it was so scary. It was awful to view.
It was insane.
Fucking effect. I couldn't do it. I literally would have to pause, walk around. A notable point is I spent like a good like 30 minute long search for my own cat.
I had to pause in the moment where she left the cat to go try to turn the coolant back on. Did not get the coolant turned back on, but when she left the cat there, I had to pause it, and then I was frantically going to does the dog die, to be like, is this cat going to get killed? Like, nearly in tears. Did not help that I took an edible before watching this movie, but that is ultimately for the better because I got some comic relief when the chest burster scampered away.
I could not survive if I was high during the
almost didn't by the end. Like, that was the only, not the only comic relief. The other comic relief was when the robot started spewing milk everywhere. They broke his pussy. But also, like, fantastic. I have to give like acting props all around. Not a bad performance in this movie.
No, oh my god.
I spent this entire movie looking at Ash and being like, why does he look familiar? He was Bilbo Baggins.
Dude, yes, that's what
And I was like, and once I finally like looked him up and was like, okay. He's 2 feet taller than I'm used to seeing him, but now I understand.
Staturally, he's a normal human man.
They did such a good job in those movies of making the small people look small that I forget that they weren't.
Holy shit.
Like, if I saw Elijah Wood in real life and he's like five whatever, like, he's not tall, but he's not that short, I would be like, what the fuck?
Get down there.
But
that's so funny.
And just that, like, even the ones who did not have a ton of screen time, I could still, like, get a feel for each and every character. Mm-hmm.
I think and Parker. Obviously, yeah. Parker he was one of the final three. But, like, those two, I think, phenomenal in establishing, like, their thought of being on the ship engineering group.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the whole crew. Again, I don't think we're going to have like a unique thing to say about it, given the fact that we're both 26, having seen it for the first time.
Well, and just like one of the most, rightfully one of the most critically acclaimed movies, like, of all time.
Mm-hmm. We are not comparing it to anything. We're not discussing its relevancy or applying it to current modern day anything. We're just discussing the film and how it is so fucking because
quite frankly, like, what could I compare this to?
No, exactly. Like, I feel like, especially with Ash, there is, my brain is just making connections to Star Trek, but I think it's just because medical officer.
No, I think maybe the closest thing my brain would link that is actually kind of a contemporary of this movie, and I think was part of the, from what I read, it was part of why this movie wasn't as well received at first, and that's like 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally like this better, and
I
know the Stanley Kubrick movie major bros are going to be raising their pitchforks, but it's like this is because again, 2001 takes too long to get to where anything's mm-hmm. happening. This was like, we at least got like them going to the alien ship and stuff pretty early on. We start establishing that some scary fucked up shit's gonna happen. We just don't realize how scary it's gonna get until later on.
Also, as someone who has read the book and watched the film, he is just entirely connected to one specific character's point of view. Like, if you deviate even a little bit to his entire like identity, it doesn't mean much.
Well, and it's also just like,
I don't care about this man.
It's also like essentially the villain of 2001 is like the mother and Ash mm-hmm. in this. And that doesn't work for me as the main villain. Like,
no.
I liked having the ship's AI and this robot be the secondary villains, where it's like they are unable to approach this situation from a human point of view and realize how fucked up and scary it is. And I think that's more effective to me than it's just like they don't care about humans and are going to actively kill them, which Ash still tried to do, but I think it doesn't work as well if that's like the main antagonist.
No.
It's more predictable too. Like, this works so much better having it just be an alien that they know nothing about, because nobody knows how to fight this thing or what it wants or anything. Like, as the title suggests, it is alien.
Alien. Yeah, no, and I think it's again more compelling because, like, I don't know, the fucking AI robot apocalypse.
It's so much more compelling. Like,
it's overwrought. It is. Again, I understand the horror of like something we have put so much humanity in, like perceived humanity on being human and refusing to accept humanity.
I was gonna say, as somebody who
it makes sense.
Somewhat afraid of AI, like in real life and in real world applications, it's like sort of scary, but at the end of the day, it's not as scary as alien creature that I cannot even begin to fathom.
Exactly. It's like, this is a man-made like horror, and like man-made
even,
horror
exactly even
scary.
The scariest things about AI, it's still like we wrought that upon ourselves, whereas it's like none of them could have predicted that they would go to this
alien
like signal and that there would then be an insane fucked up creature after them.
It's like the context we have for the xenomorph species is through subsequent films. So in this specific film, we have no context for how it reproduces, how it lives, how it exists off of. It is just a fucking heretofore unknown, unkillable predator.
Yeah.
Who you don't even know if it's hunting you for sport or for sustenance. Like, yeah, no, it used Cain to be burned.
But that's like, there are parasites and shit that do that in real world biology, mm-hmm. and they don't. There's no thought or anything behind it.
They don't continue to eat other beings post separating from the host is an independent life form.
One, I think it works so well that we don't know
yeah.
if there is any like human-like intelligence. We don't know if this is like a sentient yeah. creature or just an animal.
Just like, a giant bug.
Yeah.
Like a lamprey.
That is so effective.
Because, Mother, I don't know, Mother was so like tertiary, it didn't matter, but Ash was like...
Mother was largely something for people to talk at and not to. Mm-hmm. And I was glad for that. And then Ash was like, I think Ash was exactly the role it needed to be because the whole scene where he nearly like suffocates Ripley was terrifying.
Oh yeah. I'm
glad that that wasn't the whole movie. Because and the alien is scarier overall.
I really, really, really love that entire, like, to current to post Ash reveal. I love all of it. I love the scene we find out, after.
It was phenomenally done in the way it retroactively
contextualized
the behaviors. But also the fact that I wasn't even questioning the behaviors before the reveal, because I was like, yeah, there are probably
people that
science
like
science officers in like, especially if it was like a space situation, who are like, this is evidence of alien life. This is more important than the crew, to where I like fully believed that. But then when you realize it's a robot, it makes it even more like, oh, especially in the context, even the government does not care if the crew survives, if they can get their hands on an alien. Like, that was cool. It was like, so well done. Phenomenal.
A charter mission. They had a fucking like haul that they were loading to and from different. Like
a mining mission.
Like, it was nothing, but they the fact that like this was funded by a non-governmental science agency, and there was a science officer that, even though there's a second, like a first, second, and third in command, they're deferred. The science officer, fantastic.
The second there's an alien life form in play, even fantastic. When it is one that is deemed to be deadly,
set up for a fucking like capitalist like spacefaring society.
Fantastic! It's phenomenally well done.
I never once that I was like, "Oh, Ash is a robot," because I was just like, "This is how the world would operate in these conditions."
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It's phenomenal.
And again, I just want to circle back to my favorite part, like pre-introduction, is like when it is just Ripley, Lambert, Parker, and Ash. And they're trying to figure out what to do now that like essentially Ripley's in charge and it is just a survival mission at this point. And Lambert suggests they use the escape pod, and Ripley says, there's not enough room for the four of us. And then the next scene, after they decide that they're going to try to kill the alien, Ripley goes to speak to Mother, and she finds out that all of their lives are expendable, because the entire intent of this mission, which is debated, this is debated, and we can get into it.
I was just, it's not exactly the intent of the mission, but I do think it.
Once they receive that transmission.
The second they receive a transmission from intelligent life, the intent is to get the alien back, regardless of anything else.
That
is so cool.
It's fantastic. And then we get the reveal that Ash is not a human and he's been an android the whole time, and the whole crew could have escaped in the escape pod, and Ash probably could have gotten this automated ship with a fucking alien back to Earth without any casualties post that reveal.
Yeah.
Insane. Fantastic. And then the whole rest of the movie is post android reveal.
It's just absolute fucking horror.
Where they, after Rip, come back in to see if he knows anything about the species that the xenomorph is. And all he says is, I don't fucking know what it is. And I'm an android, so I don't give a shit about human life. But I really do wish you the best of luck, because I don't feel like you were going to survive.
Yeah.
fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Just a fantastic series of events, beautifully laid out. A lot of tit, but
happens.
I think because a lot of like the point of this horror of this movie was like very sexual, like not even like the act of sex sexually, but like the embodiment of sex sexually derived. Where it was just a birthing horror.
Yeah, to an extent.
And a lot of, like, the crew-on-crew violence was, like, akin to sexual assault.
That's something that's brought up a lot, and I'm glad that it was discussed. I don't think it's poorly done or in poor taste, necessarily. I don't think it was entirely necessary either, but I've seen much worse in horror movies, unfortunately. I actually think the worst scene as far as that goes in the entire movie is not anything crew on crew. It's that the xenomorph did put its tail inside Lambert's pussy.
Yeah.
Like we didn't see it happen, but we saw it about to happen, and we know that it did happen, and it's like,
yeah.
Why did we do that?
No, and have you seen the articles and everything else kind of detailing what Lambert's original death was?
I haven't.
So what it was is like the scene goes unchanged in regards to Parker. Lambert is in a lot of the xenomorph, and she sees it, like, I think either she sees it kill Parker or she sees it approach, and she dies of fright in the locker.
Oh.
Which is significantly different.
Significantly different, and I think I almost like it better.
Yeah, I do think it's because, again, it kind of, that concept kind of pulls back to, this is just a creature. Well, it has no motive.
It fits the character in that she is terrified this entire time, before she's even seen the creature. And I think that some people would probably kind of dislike that for her character and would have not liked that death. But I actually, as the person who would be like that in that situation, I like that she was so scared the whole time. And I think it would have been effective if she just literally died of fear. I think it probably would have come across as really cheesy, however it would have been done on screen. But I don't dislike that concept.
No.
But if with the change that they did, I would have rather she just fully, like, be killed by it, even if it was off screen, rather than see that tail going towards her pussy and then cut off screen and hear her die. Like,
yeah.
Like, why did we do that?
No, I know a lot of people, like, rip on Dallas's because it was just a jump scare jump cut. But I do think it had at least a little bit, like, more respect to his personhood. Cut for Lambert.
I liked Dallas a lot. I don't know like how, what the overall opinion or anything on it, but I liked that he knew he could not override the science officer. Like, he's been doing this for a long time. He literally says that.
Yeah.
But like, I do like that. Like, he knew he wasn't going to live going into those events. He still put his crew first, and I appreciated that. And it was also just, you know, the 70s, so he was a little sexy.
He was,
because, like, men were just sluttier back then.
Yeah, he was incredibly a little sexy about it. I hate to say it.
Exactly. Like, I hate to say it, but it was true.
And, like, I hate to say it, Kane was a little sexy about post-morging when he was in a fucking corset.
No. Kane looked like a corpse well before he died.
That's fine. I have no qualms.
The first thing we got in this movie is them waking up and being like, Kane, you look like you're sick and dying. And he's like, yeah, okay.
He was a little sexy with it. Right? I think it's a fantastic movie because I literally I cannot say a single bad thing about any member of the crew.
No, it was
even
fantastic.
While
fantastic.
Brett and Parker were being active shitheads for a lot of their scenes, I understand. Workers unite. Rise up against the people that are undervaluing your labor.
Yeah, it, absolutely.
Kane was a little stupid with it in that he eggs of alien species.
I loved when he just fell. They're like on their, they're just like walking on the little walkway around these eggs and he literally just fell. He's like, they're like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I just fell. Like,
okay. I trip it.
I also like that they did, like, he did not fall. I watched his ass get in there.
Like, I think it was a fantastic cast of characters, fantastic cast of actors.
Yeah, nothing to say on any of that. Like,
no.
There was something to like about every character. Even Ash. Like, I did not fully hate Ash.
No, exactly.
Like, there were, like, good and, like, positive and negative traits for each character. Mm-hmm. And then as, on the acting side of things, nothing but praise for every single one of them. Every single person knew what their character was and committed fully.
This includes all four cats that...
100% also includes the guy who was in the Xenomorph suit.
No, 100%. He's number one. Like, he knew.
Like, phenomenal on all factors. Incredible.
I just, again, we're not going to be providing any new commentary or new praise for this film, but it's just fantastic. I loved every minute of it. It was the most excruciating watch I've ever had for the podcast, I believe. It was
in terms
so
of,
bad.
It was not the most excruciating for me, but it was the hardest in terms of actual fear.
Yeah, it was so...
Most excruciating will always be the Bye-Bye Man for me.
That was so easy.
The dude took everything from me.
It was so easy. I loved every second of it. Because this movie... I'm, like, talking in terms of runtime versus actual watch time it took. Because as above, so below, I had to take that, like, 20, 30-minute break when they were crawling around in the bone zone. This one, I had to do that about four or five times.
I had to pause a few times.
I fully... At the mark where I had 16 minutes left, I paused, got up, and cleaned my entire bathroom. I was so freaked out. It was so tense. Like, because again, I've probably experienced scarier visuals, scarier plot, because we have watched things that have happened post 1979.
No, but it's just this movie was working so flawlessly at the intersection of a lot of the things that I'm afraid of.
That I had to stop and clean my entire fucking bath. Like, I got on my hands and knees and scrubbed my bathtub kind of bathroom cleaning. It was a productive day for my bathroom. It was awful viewing experience.
I think in terms of the horror I was feeling, as above so below is almost on the same level of this for me. Mm-hmm. Not because it's nearly as good of a movie. It's not.
No.
But I am insanely claustrophobic and those scenes did make me want to throw up. But this movie had plenty of that too. It's just that it was not without reason and was utilized well in this movie. As above, so below, it was fully, like, just to have a really claustrophobic scene
for a
solid 10 minutes.
I think the difference between these two films is, like, the worst.
There is nothing done in this movie that was without intention.
Yes, and I think, like, the worst like scenes were towards the end, where I feel like they should be. Like the closer to the climax you make these,
I want to get progressively more upset and scared watching a horror movie. And that's like, I do like, again, this was maybe right now, I'd have to really sit down and think about it, but maybe the scariest movie I've ever seen as of right now. And that is not a criticism. Like, that is a huge, huge plus, because it's like, I do want to be scared when I watch a scary movie. And quite often I am not.
Oh, exactly.
And I know a big part of that is that we are very desensitized in this era, but that is also a huge plus to this movie that came out the same fucking year as Friday the 13th. Same fucking year as Friday the 13th, which did not scare me in the slightest. And this, I was nearly crying at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, again, we talked about it, but I'm going to bring it up again because it was so, so, so well done. When she's in the spacesuit, very shakily trying to just move her eyes to try to see it, I literally felt like I was going to throw up. And that is a positive critique of this film. Like, that sounds like a negative, but it isn't. It's that is how I should feel in the climax of a horror movie.
For context, when I was born, this movie was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This movie could, when I was born, and it has had such a significant impact on me that I do not think I will ever be viewing it again. respectfully, which is a lot more than I could say for a lot of films that we've...
This scared me so bad, I am going to be watching it every year now.
This movie unquestionably has become a little piece of the cornerstone of my identity that I've kind of cultivated and developed in my adult years. This means a lot to me now that I've seen it. I do understand why this was one of the two identifying films my friend that I've known since middle school has had. This with Jurassic Park, and I will not say the same about Jurassic Park. I don't feel like
I will say the same about that. Your friend and I have both of those in common.
I'll introduce you to them. next time we're all like in the same country. They're on their honeymoon right now. So, but this, I understand why when we went to our class trip to Germany for our German class, this was one of the two DVDs he brought with him. We couldn't realistically watch them because they do have different DVD sizes in Europe.
Yeah, which insane. Why, like, yeah, but
I
phenomenal movie.
I understand it. I have had to rent many a movie I have not been able to access on streaming or find on.
But this is the first one that we have had to rent where it was like, I'll probably actually just buy it now.
Mm-hmm. The $4.99 I spent for the 4K HD edition that my computer was well spent.
Why did they charge you more for it? Because I also got, I rented from the same place, same edition. I got charged $3.99.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Hold on. What?
They said if you live in Iowa, you can see Alien for cheaper. Yeah, quite frankly, that. But
that is so fucked. Oh my god. I'm so mad about that. Whatever.
That's insane.
Okay, you could. We have not discussed the plot at all. I don't think you need to.
No, and I don't think we need to go in depth into the plot for
if
this.
If you want
to
know about Alien, think back. You know, you already know the plot of Alien.
you've probably, if you haven't seen it, you still probably know, because again, I knew almost everything about this movie before going in, because
the only thing that shocked me was Ash.
All-time classic movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not know about Ash going into this, but
no.
Pretty much everything else I was roughly expecting. And again, still scared out of my mind half this movie.
Phenomenal, like, movie. It is a fear.
Phenomenal movie.
Fully recommend, and I do not regret experiencing. If you haven't seen Alien, definitely watch it whenever you're available. Ideally, you don't have to spend money, because ideally to watch anything, you wouldn't have to spend money.
Ideally, you should not have to spend money to see anything. If you are in a position where you have to spend money, I will honestly just say just buy it at this point. Like, it is a classic movie. You can definitely find a DVD copy of it for $10 somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is, like, I will just come right in and say, one of the best movies ever.
It's deserved every accolade it's ever received. Again, I'm repeating myself here.
The amount of shit that it has done for both the sci-fi and horror genres, too, is, like,
phenomenal.
It is still influencing both genres to this day.
The amount of shit it's done for me.
Specific in that movie, scene, too. Not, like, the franchise or anything, because that is hit or miss in its history, but like,
as most franchises are,
this specific movie,
it's
a touchstone for both genres at this, like, it is, you cannot talk about sci-fi as a film genre or horror as a film genre without Alien coming into the discussion, and you shouldn't. Fucking good.
Alien prior, and you have to see it again, drop whatever the fuck you're doing and watch it right now. Relive this.
Yeah.
Do it.
Phenomenal.
It is just a fantastic movie. If you have a Twitter, don't sign up for a Twitter. If you've actively been avoiding Twitter or have deactivated your account, do not reactivate it. Or open the app again.
It won't be around for long. Working on getting our Tumblr up and running again. Quite frankly, don't know where else we would go at this point, since Reddit is also doing some shit, and that is
like Facebook.
Probably where most people would. No, absolutely not. My mom's on there.
Mine too. Religiously. My mom and my
dad, and they're evil. working on getting the Tumblr back up and running. That's just going to be at Dumb Bitch Binging. You can follow us there as well. And join us next week as we completely shift lanes and talk about season one of How I Met Your Mother.
It's about the same. Xenomorph is there.
Sometimes.
That's the mother. Sorry for the spoilers.
All of that being said, thank you for listening. This has been Dumb Bitch Binging.